Ephesians in chapter number 6. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture with most everyone in here, I'm sure. And this is not going to be an exhaustive study on the spiritual armor or anything like that. But and I had only really intended to read a couple of verses for tonight's message, but I'm going to read several. This is not going to be the deepest exegetical expository sermon because it's just so much. But there are some things that I want us to cover tonight. So Ephesians chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. By the way, let me just stop right there. It has been said by some preachers there in verse 12, for we do not wrestle. Yep, that's pretty much it. We don't wrestle. we don't fight. We don't put up resistance. We do not wrestle. There's probably a sermon in there somewhere, but we're going to leave that one alone for tonight, or at least for a little while anyway. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As I told you this morning, I'm talking to you tonight about a military briefing. That is the title of my message tonight. Father, help me to be able to preach this message in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Webster's defines a briefing as an act or instant of giving precise instructions or essential information. It is the act of giving precise instruction or essential information. And that's what I want this message tonight to be. I want it to be one where we're giving precise instructions and information that is absolutely essential. Now, you need to understand something. I don't guess you need to understand it, but let me just say it. I'm not one for meetings or briefings. That's just not my cup of tea. The fewer meetings I can have, the happier I am. But I also understand that you can't not have meetings or briefings at times. Sometimes they are needed. And I was thinking about it whenever, and there's people in here who've been in the military know far more about this than I do. But I know that military maneuvers and happenings in the military, they are important. And there needs to be briefings. There needs to be instructions given so that soldiers can be kept up to date with military tactics and as well as the enemy's happenings and the whereabouts. They're extremely important for the benefit of the army and for their success. And I just believe every once in a while in the church, and yes, this is a Sunday night message, that every once in a while in the church, we need to have a meeting and we need to be reminded, folks, we're in a battle. We are in a real war. I mean, it's bad. And we need to do something about it. We need, as soldiers of the cross, to be engaged, but we need to be informed. We need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be challenged in the fight of faith. So you can take this message tonight as any one of those that you would like. It's a reminder. It's an encouragement. It's a challenge. It's an inspiration. Folks, we are in a battle, and we need to be reminded of that. Okay? So, and I can't think of any better place than to come on a Sunday night, you know, when your core people are here. Come on. Your core people are here. I mean, I'm not throwing shade at the people that just come on Sunday morning, but listen, they're not your core. They're not your core. Okay, those are the kind of people that you're fighting for. Because they need to understand, they need more than just one message on Sunday morning. They need to understand, this is not a place where you can just dip in and get what you need and it'll carry you through the rest of the work. It is much more intense than that, and they need to understand it. So the core people, the Sunday night people, the Wednesday night people, the people that meet for Bible study and prayer, we're the ones, hey, listen, you need to be reminded. You're fighting for them. You're fighting for your families. You're fighting for your friends. So, what would I say from this passage of Scripture during this briefing? First of all, we are in a battle. As I said, there's just some things that we need to know. So, number one, I want to talk about the resources that we must use. The resources that we must use. A couple of things that I want to mention here, okay? First of all, our power and authority. Our power and not our power, but the power that is available to us is a resource that we must use. So he says here in verse number 10, be strong in the Lord. Now, the word strong there comes from a Greek word which has as its root the word dunamis. Okay, and of course, you've probably heard it said before. That's where our word dynamite and dynamic come from. But it speaks of an inherent power. An inherent power. In other words, it means to have the ability to do something. We are to be strong in the Lord so that we can have the ability to do something. There is power there. You know that Paul said, the gospel has power to bring salvation. There is an inherent ability to be able to bring salvation in the gospel message. That's why you need to know the gospel message. That's why you need to be able to share it. Because that's where the power is. By the way, this is an imperative. It is a command. I'm not going to sit here and take a vote about it. It is a command. Be strong in the Lord. To listen to many Christians today, it would seem as though we are a weak lot, that we have no strength whatsoever. But we do. And let me just say this, okay? Just because, this goes back to what I was saying a while ago about the part-timers. Just because a person reads a daily devotional and attends a church, even if they do it somewhat regularly, does not mean that they are exercising strength. Let me say that again. Just because you read a daily devotional, and even though you come what some might call a regular basis, that does not mean that you're exercising strength. You are here tonight. Some of you will be here on Wednesday night. But you know what? That does not mean that you're exercising strength. Who told you that reading a devotional? Who told you that just showing up is going to give you the strength that you need? That's not where it comes from in just attending. It helps you. I'm not going to lie. You can learn. You can grow. But those things don't mean that you're strong. In fact, to be honest with you, and y'all could probably say this tonight, some of the weakest Christians I have ever seen are those who will come regularly because they don't know how to apply what they've learned. We must be strong in the Lord. I would say that the fact that some are not so strong is evidenced by the fact that even faithful Christians are deceived and oftentimes do not know how to walk in the truth. They're not being strong, he says, in the Lord. Our strength comes from the Lord. I started to entitle this message, Strong in the Strength of Someone Else, but I didn't. But that's basically what we're talking about. Being strong in the strength of someone else, in the Lord. That means to have the power of God placed in us. It is to be given the power and the ability to do what we are called to do, to have the strength to stand. There was a time in the Old Testament, back over in the book of 1 Samuel, when David found himself in a tight place. In fact, it was so tight that his own people, his own army, had talked of stoning him. He was overwhelmed. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's where he found strength. He found it in the Lord. He didn't have First Newark Baptist Church to go to. He didn't have a local church somewhere to go to. He had to go straight to the source, and that was in the Lord his God. That's where it comes from. We know that it is through our weakness that God's strength is made perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word power there comes from a Greek word which means the exercise of strength. It means strength in action. An example would be when a muscle man bends a piece of iron. His might to bend that piece of iron. That's what this word is talking about here. It is strength in action. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Might. That speaks of God's ability, which is inherent in him. Oh, what we need in the church today are preachers, are deacons, are people in the church who are willing to say, I'm not strong. I'm not strong. I'm weak and I need help. I know in here there's a lot of talents in here. There's people in here that can fix all kind of things, and praise God for it. There's people in here that can prepare all kind, and praise God for it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not interested in what your talent can do for you. What I'm interested in tonight, what we need to understand, is we need an ability to be able to fight the enemy. And that ability comes not from ourselves, but from God himself. It is time for us to stop bragging, the church at large, to stop bragging about what we have, what we can do, our ability. I've been here. I can do this. I know this. I know that. And say, I don't know nothing. When it comes to the spiritual battle, I am weak as they come. I'm weak as water, and I need power. I need power to fight this battle that we're in. And yeah, I believe that means we ought to have some more bended knees. Because listen, I've learned this, the older I get, the weaker I get in my legs, And I need to sit down. I need to take all the pressure off. I need to take all this weight off of my. And I'm going to tell you something. We need some more bended knees. Some people are standing strong with their chin up and their chest poked out. No. We need some heads bowed. We need some knees bent. Saying, God, help me. I've got friends. I got family. And they're going to hell. A soldier is not sent into combat in the power of his strength alone. Someone is sent into battle today. They go into battle knowing they have the power of the United States military behind them. The authority of the United States military. And the Lord does not send us into this world in our power alone. We are to go forward in His power. I'd ask preachers, I'd ask you teachers here tonight. How much you spend so much time a week studying, how much time do you spend praying compared to how much time you spend talking? That's what I'm talking about. I gotta get prepared. I gotta get ready. If you don't pray, you're not prepared. I mean, he even says this down here at the very end, you know, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You ain't praying, you're studying, but if you ain't praying, you ain't prepared. We talked about the power and the authority that's our resource, but let me just say a word about the equipment that is used. And I'm not going to get in each one of these pieces of equipment tonight. That's not the intent of this message. But you have equipment here. Listen, it is standard issue for every soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You imagine God calling us and saying, I want you to go out and I want you to fight the demons. I want you to fight spiritual warfare. I want you to go out in the battle. But listen, you're just going to have to... I'm just fresh out of equipment. You're going to have to supply your own shield, your own helmet, your own shoes. I'm sorry, you know, budget cuts. We just can't supply what we used to have. He doesn't do that. He gives you what you need to be able to go out into the battle. In this meeting tonight, in this briefing tonight, I want to tell you something, folks. We need to use the resources that we have been given. You understand that? You need to use the resources that you've been given. You need to spend more time. Study this word strong. Study this phrase, strong in the Lord. Study this phrase, strong in the power of His might. Study. Let's learn what that means. Let's learn how that benefits us. Let's study this spiritual armor. What does this mean? How does this help me? God gave it to me and it's there for a purpose. So number one, we must use the resources that I talked about the resources we must use. Second of all, let me talk about the recognition that we need. The recognition that we need. This has to do with our enemy. Because the enemy has various tactics, and we need to know what they are. Now, as we study the New Testament, we know that there were cases of demon possession in the New Testament. Jesus cast out demons. And we see in those stories that those people were given unusual power and abilities. In Mark chapter 5, there is a man who had superhuman strength. In Acts 16, we read of a girl who was given the ability to tell fortunes. It was all demonically inspired. They received their abilities from demons. That was easy to recognize. However, I would say to you, stay with me. It seems that most of the wiles of the devil are much more subtle than that. And they can do more damage because of the amount of people who are affected. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Let me just mention three things. First of all, his deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. He says, I'm afraid that you all are being deceived. There are people who are coming and they're preaching a different spirit and they're preaching a different Jesus, and you put up with it. You have been deceived. It doesn't seem to bother you. And that's what Satan does. He comes with his deceptive teachers. And I mean, and even today in this world which we live in, you know, you just let somebody mention the name of the Lord, mention the name of Jesus, or mention the Bible. Oh, they must be a Christian. Oh. When they start talking about Jesus, you need to ask them, all right, now which Jesus are we talking about? He deceives people. And we need to recognize that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. For the uneducated, the immature Christian, Christian bookstores today are an extremely dangerous place. Or wherever you get your Christian books from, it can be an extremely dangerous place because there's all sorts of teachings out there, and the uninformed, uneducated, immature don't know the difference. That's why we need to recognize. I talked about his deception. What about his doctrine? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. How can people stand up and preach and teach the things that they preach and teach? Their conscience has been seared. They are Satan's ministers, and they are preaching a doctrine of demons. And we need to recognize that. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that we are to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. We need to be like Bereans. We need to search the Scripture. I said it Wednesday night. I've said it before. I'll say it again tonight for the 1,001st time. No, I'm not saying that every Christian needs to be a scholar, but you are called to be a student of the Bible. And we need to recognize the doctrine of demons. But let me also talk about his disruption. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Paul says, now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That word advantage there is an interesting word. It means to outwit someone. That's what the devil tries to do. Now let me say something here. I want you to listen to me. Perhaps the most deceptive of all his tricks against the church, against the body of believers, is that of bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness, which disrupts the unity of the body of Christ. If you are sitting in here tonight, and I'm not asking for hands, but if you're sitting in here tonight and you have a spirit of bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart against a brother or sister, you need to recognize what it's for. Yeah, yeah, but they said this. They did that. They. Go back to what we just read a few minutes ago. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. This verse is in the Bible for our admonition. He says, I'm going to forgive that person whom you forgave, because he says, I understand how Satan will take that unforgiveness. He will take that bitterness. He will take that anger. He will take that and he will twist it to his advantage. And guess what? We'll sit right here and we'll fall victim for it and not even realize what's happening. Y'all know this. But that's why we're having this briefing tonight. Because you need to be reminded of it. I'm telling you, folks. I believe that God has blessed First Newark Baptist Church. I believe that with all my heart. But I also believe that Satan will come against us with anything he can throw at us. And so we just, I mean, he'll infiltrate. Listen, Satan, we're talking about the tactics, but you're talking about where he is. I mean, he has infiltrated the government. He has infiltrated the entertainment industry. He has infiltrated education system. He has infiltrated the family, and he's infiltrated the church, or trying to. Satan has various ways of attacking people, including believers. We just need to recognize that fact. Recognize what it is, what the source of our problems and our issues are. Okay? It's important. So I've talked to you, first of all, about the resources we must use. Second of all, the recognition that we need. And third, the resolve we must have. All right? Now, looking back at Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? Verse 13, take up the whole armor, excuse me, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And there again in verse 13, and having done all to stand. And in verse 14, stand therefore. The resolve that we must have is the resolve to stand our ground. Okay? The idea is that of holding one's ground. Let me tell you this, folks. You don't have to go attack the devil. He's going to come after you. He's going to come after the church. I mean, that's just the way it is. The bad will come looking for us. I don't mean to be facetious about this, but it reminds me of that Andy Griffith episode. First time Ernest T. Bass was ever on Andy Griffith. And they went to go to where he was, and somebody said to Andy, and Barnes said, Andy said, do you think we need to go out and look for him? And somebody said, no, you don't need to go look for him. He's a pestilence, and a pestilence will find you. You just wait. pretty good. That pretty good teaching right there from Randy Griffith. No, he's a pestilence. You just wait. That pestilence will find you. You just wait. Satan will be along. And when he does, you need to be able to stand your ground. And you know how you stand your ground? You stand your ground by being strong in the Lord. Because the question is, can we hold our ground? Can we hold our ground? And we can only if we are standing in God's might and in God's armor. It is interesting to me that Paul does not say, you need to be strong so you can go get some territory. No, he's not talking about us going and get any territory. He's talking about us holding the territory that we already have, standing the ground that we already have. But see, a lot of times, this message is preached this way. You know, there's territory out there that we need to go take for Jesus' name. I think about it also. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I'm telling you, anything of value, anything that God has given me, the devil can't steal. What I need to do, I need to stand the ground. Folks, what I'm talking about is truth, not territory. Truth, not territory. You need to know the truth. You need to be well-versed in the truth. When somebody comes against you with doctrines of demons and lies and false theology, you need to be able to stand in the truth. You need to be strong in the Lord and say, God, help me here to be able to stand firm and stand strong in the power of your mind. When you go out, you're going out into the devil's territory. We understand you're going out into the world, but it's not a matter of going out there and claiming this territory or that territory or this territory or that territory. It's about going out and standing in the truth of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The devil, he's got nothing to stop the truth. Somebody said, well, yes, he does. Well, he's got his deception. Yeah, that's why we need to be grounded. Man, there's so much going on in my mind right now about this. But what I'm trying to tell you, folks, is in this briefing that we're having, it's time for the church to get serious about truth. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. To put on this armor that God has given us and stand in that. And know the truth. And don't back down. No matter what. No matter what. The resolve that we need to have is from this day forward, Lord, I am resolved to know truth. I'm resolved to walk in truth. I'm resolved to speak the truth. No, I'm not going to go out and look for a demon behind every bush. And I'm not going to claim that everything has a demon attached to it. What I'm going to do is I'm realize that I am fighting against principalities and powers. I understand that. There is a spiritual battle. But folks, the spiritual battle today is the battle for truth. I mean, come on, folks. Just think about it. Just think about from a governmental standpoint. There are those in the government that they're pushing upon us today. Listen, it's okay for abortions. It's legal to do. It's legal to kill a baby. Listen, the government said, hey, if you can be whatever gender you want to be. You don't even have to be a gender. It's okay. People in high places are saying this is okay. Is that a territory issue? No, it's a truth issue. They have been deceived. They have believed the lie. It's a truth issue. What are we going to say? What are we going to do? We need to get serious. As has been said before, we are not on a playground, but a battleground. We're not on a cruise ship, but a battleship. And the truth is, war is not always pretty. But for the Christian, it is assured to those who belong to Christ. We sang it this morning, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. We are not walking towards victory. We're walking from victory. We're walking in victory. So why do we act so anemic? Why do I act so overcome and so defeated sometimes? I'll tell you why. Because I'm not standing in the truth. And I realize that the devil will use every kind of tactic that he can to come against me. Unforgiveness, discouragement, defeat, depression, all of those kinds of things. And here's the problem. Here's the problem with me. I'm preaching to myself right now. Here's the problem. I believe the lies of the enemy more sometimes than I believe the promises of the Word of God. And I just can't do that. I can't do that. Too much at stake. Too much at stake. Vance Havner used to say, the problem is today that the situation is desperate, but the people of God aren't. Not desperate for truth, to stand in the truth, no matter where we go. We're called to be sharers of the light. That's what I want to be. And that's what I want this church to be. We just need to be very, very careful, very, very alert, because the enemy is lurking all the time. All around us to try to bring us down. I'm going to ask you to pray about tonight. I'm going to ask every one of you tonight to pray about it. God, help me to be strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of my Lord and Savior, and in the power of His might, so that I can stand when the truth is under attack, so that I will believe the truth of the Word of God and not the truth of the enemy. Help me, Lord. Help the unity of First Newark Baptist Church. Help the unity of the body of Christ at large. As we stand on truth, we need it desperately today. And that is all for this briefing.